Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is our epistle lesson from Galatians chapter 6. The quest for truth is nothing new. 2,000 years ago, Pilate stood before Jesus and he asked the Lord, "What is truth?" That's still the question today. Just exactly what is truth? Is it fake news or is it true? Are the facts real or are they made up? Does history tell us what really happened, or is that somebody's version of the way they would like to have seen things work out? What about the church? What's true and what's not when it comes to the church? Do I let my own reason have a field day and put my stamp on truth, of truth, on whatever I imagine it to be? And so to her, the church is nothing but a band of people who imagine they're better than everybody else. Is that the truth? To him, the church is nothing but arrogant people out to promote themselves. Is that the truth? To lots of people, the church has no place for those who are weak and weary. Only the strong and the able are welcome here. Is that the truth? There is only one truth that matters. It's not mine, and it's not yours. It's God's. It's the truth from his holy word. There, the Bible tells us, in our text from Galatians 6, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. The truth is, there are sinners in the church. It is sinners who get caught in transgressions and sinners who face temptation. It's not that some people are sinners and others aren't. Everybody has failed. Everybody has fallen. Everybody is at fault. That's why the Bible clearly and loudly proclaims all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Although we are baptized into Christ, washed clean of our sin, given a new spirit, we don't stop being sinners. That's why the Bible calls us to a constant battle with our old human nature. And yet somehow, the unbelieving world does not understand. It delights in being able to say, "I have discovered a sinner in the church. Look, there is somebody who's guilty. I have exposed a hidden truth." The truth is, there is nothing hidden about it. People of the church have always been sinners forgiven by Christ. That's how it was, starting with Peter, the rock man that Jesus appointed as head of his church. What did he do? Jesus begged him to stay awake and pray, and lo and behold, he fell asleep. And from there, he went on to deny his Lord, not once or twice, but three times. The Apostle John reminds us all, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And the Apostle St. Paul reminds us, I know that nothing good dwells in me. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. That's how it is for all of us. The truth is, there are sinners in the church. There always have been, and there always will be. This does not diminish the church or make it anything less than it should be. It's no excuse for doing wrong, and it does not lessen the guilt of our offenses. It's simply a given for the life we share together. It's the truth about the church. And so is this. In a church full of sinner saints, there is absolutely no room for boasting. That's the truth. That's why the Apostle Paul says in our text, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one unscarred by sin of his own. Jesus is the only one who took our offenses onto himself. Jesus is the only one who stood condemned before the judgment seat of God because he carried our guilt. Jesus is the only one who suffered and died on a cross that was meant for us. Jesus is the only one who conquered death for us and forgives us and offers eternal life to all who repent and believe. If there's any boasting to do, boast in him and the cross he bore for us. That's the truth about the way things are supposed to be in the church. But all too often, this truth is overtaken by a lie that whispers into our ears, you're not so bad. Just look at the sinners around you. Compare yourself to them, well, and you can't help but boast. It's like the story Jesus once told about a Pharisee and a tax collector praying in the temple. The Pharisee prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. The Pharisee couldn't help but boast about himself in comparison to others. But Jesus says that boasting Pharisee remained condemned before God. Speaking of a tax collector who prayed quite simply, God be merciful to me, a sinner, Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. If there's any boasting in the church, it is boasting of Christ alone. That's the truth about the church. That's why St. Paul writes, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And this brings us to the final truth about the church. In the church, there is strength for the weary. That's why Paul can say in our text, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Here in the body of Christ is healing for the broken, hope for the grieving, and help for those tired and worn out. While the rest of the world argues that you have to help yourself, The church says, here in this place, where God freely offers help to all who come, he invites us to come open-handed, trusting him. While the rest of the world would have us focus on ourselves, running after self-help books, self-care resources, self-healing seminars, the church directs our attention away from self and to what we do, to what God offers us. Some years ago, I heard a story about a government agent who imagined he was quite self-sufficient. He worked for the Department of Water Resources in Texas. The agent pulled into the yard of an old rancher. As he got out of his vehicle, he announced, "I need to inspect your ranch for your water allocation." And the rancher replied, "Okay, but I would stay out of that field over there." And before the rancher could say any more, the agent said with an air of arrogance and self-confidence, "Mister, I have the full authority of the federal government behind me." Then he pulled out his wallet and he took out a card and he held up the card and he said, "See this card? It means I can go wherever I want, whenever I want, on any agricultural land. Anytime, any place, no questions asked. Have I made myself clear?" The old rancher nodded, and he went about his chores. A short while later, there was a loud screaming that came from the field. And the rancher looked up, and there was the water agent being chased across the field by this huge Brahma bull. It belonged to the farmer, the rancher. The rancher saw this, and he threw down his tools. He ran up to the fence, and he yelled at the top of his lungs, "Show him your card! Show him your card!" Well, there is clearly a limit to the resources we have. At some point, they all fail, and they all won't do us the least bit of good. Paul knew this from his own experience. He once wrote to the Corinthians, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead." It is in the church that God, who raised Christ from the dead, invites us to confess our sins every week at the start of our worship service and then receive from his pastors the word of absolution. It's in the church that God, who raised Christ from the dead, gives counsel and guidance and direction from his holy scripture in the lessons appointed each Sunday here in God's house. It is God who raised Christ from the dead who offers to us week after week the very body and blood of Christ given and shed for us to forgive us, to build us up, and to fill us with courage for living. This is the truth about the church. As Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It happens right here, in this place, week after week. It is the gospel truth. Amen. Now may God's peace, which is far more than we can ever fully hope to understand, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.